Today we're continuing a conversation that we started back at Easter, where we ask this question: if Jesus changed everything then what does that change for me now? So back at Easter, we asked the question, if Jesus changed everything then, if in fact he died and he rose on the third day, and that changed everything for those disciples then, but what about now? If that changes everything then what does that change for me now? What difference does an empty tomb make in my life today? In other words, is Easter just a nice sentimental story on a nice day out of the year with a nice little ending to wrap up the story? Or is Easter something that changed everything? Not only then, but now. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to ask this question. What difference does an empty tomb make when I need peace in the midst of suffering? And then we're going to close out the series by asking this question. What difference does an empty tomb make when I need life in my final days when I face death? Well, that's the conversation for the next couple weeks. But today, here's the question that we want to ask. If Jesus changed everything then, what does that change for me now when I feel regret? Now, there's a word that can stir some emotion in all of us. Maybe you regret something that you said on the way to church this morning. I don't know. Maybe you feel regret about a financial decision that you made this past year. Maybe you have regret. You regret that you didn't take better care of your health or your savings or your relationships. I know I feel regret that I lived in anxiety back around my college days. It seemed like 2 or 3 years where I really believed that not only did God have a plan for my life, but I believed that he had hidden it from me. Because as if it was like my job to find it. And that brought a lot of anxiety. That belief brought a lot of anxiety in me. Because I thought, man, if I miss it, if I go this way, if I make one wrong decision, I'm gonna be off the path and I'm gonna miss God's purpose and plan for my life. I regret that. I was talking to a dad sharing that he regrets all the time that he spent working away from home, convincing himself that his family needed his income more than they needed him. But now that regret sets in even more because now he's watching his son go and do the exact same thing. And he's trying to tell him, he's trying to save him from regret. You see, we all, if life had an undo button, we would all reach for it because there, for all of us, there's something in our life that we wish we could just go back and just say, whoa, 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 let's do something different here. I mean, maybe it's the first time that you went onto that website and you viewed pornography and you told yourself, I'm not hurting anyone. And if you only knew how much it was going to end up hurting you and the people around you. Maybe it was the first time that you flirted with that married coworker. Or that first pill, or that first drink, or that first time that you stole what you considered a small amount of money from the company. You just wish you could go back to that moment and say, hey, let's do things different. If life had an undo button, the truth is that every single one of us in this room would be reaching for it, including myself. Because here's what we learn. Regret from past mistakes is really only the beginning. That's where the trouble begins, because if we do not deal with it, if we stuff down those past mistakes and that regret, what it ends up doing is defining the future, which is even worse. Well, what I did, that's who I am. And who I am is all I'll ever be, and those beliefs start to set in, and one by one, each regret is a bar in the prison of our past. And we can't help but wonder, well, here's the question that we ask. Will I ever find freedom from regret? This prison of the past, will I ever find freedom from regret? In other words, is there a future out there where I finally get past my past? Well, the answer to that question is, it depends. It depends on where you turn with your regret. Today we're going to look at two disciples, two close followers of Jesus. Because if that's where you are today and you're feeling stuck in life because of those past mistakes or that regret, and you've not been able to find a way to get past it, you need to know that you know how those first disciples felt. And today we're going to look at two of them, two disciples who had some big regret in life. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 14. We're going to be there. This is where Jesus, last week we talked about Jesus being with his disciples, not just the week before his crucifixion, but the night before his crucifixion. And so he's with his disciples. And if you remember, if you were here with us last week, then you know that Jesus told them not once, not twice, but three times that he was going to die, that the Son of Man would be killed, and on the third day he would rise again. But guys, it was kind of going right over their head. They didn't get it. I don't think they really wanted to get it. And then Jesus does something else. We talked about this last week. He wraps a towel around his waist, and he begins to wash their feet. Now, that would be kind of weird in our day and time, but it was really weird then because he was a rabbi. He was the master. And now you wouldn't see, even in their day and time, the master or the rabbi washing the disciples' feet. And he begins to wash their feet, and they didn't get it. It was a bit confusing to them. But what I want us to look at today, what he says next may have been the most confusing thing on that night before his crucifixion, may have been the most confusing thing that had happened to them in that entire night. Look at what he says to his disciples. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Well, they were saddened. And one by one, they said to him, surely you don't mean me. "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." This would have been confusing to the disciples. I mean, they were his ride-or-die guys, right? And then Jesus tells them, one of you is going to betray me. Now, there are only two people in the room at this point who know who Jesus is talking about. Now, one of them is Jesus, and the other is Judas. Judas was a zealot. Judas is still with Jesus. We know that much. But what we don't know is why he stopped trusting Jesus. We could make our best guess. I mean, he was a zealot. Maybe he wanted to give the messianic movement just a little push in the right direction in his mind. Remember that not only Judas, but many of these disciples, they're looking for a Messiah who's going to become king. He's going to be seated on the throne. And he's finally going to get them out from and under the oppression and rule of the Romans. And maybe some of this talk about dying and being raised from the dead on the third day, maybe Judas thought, this guy's lost his mind. We don't know what he thought, but we do know what he did. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. Now they were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money, so he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Now, of course, the chief priests were excited about this because they had been looking for an opportunity to get to Jesus. But the problem was the crowds. They didn't want to excite the crowds. They didn't want to cause themselves, you know, other problems. And so they were looking for a way to get to Jesus. And now they've got the inside track through Judas. So they're excited about this. They give him money. And Judas begins to look for an opportunity to hand him over. Now, when we typically think about the disciple who betrayed Jesus, who do we think of? This isn't a trick question, by the way. We think of Judas. We think of Judas as the disciple who betrayed Jesus. But on that same night, he's walking with the other 11. So Judas has already gone off to do his thing. And now Jesus is left with the other 11 disciples. He's walking with them. And I want you to see what he says to them. "You will all fall away." What? You will all fall away. You will all desert me. Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you in Galilee. And Peter declared, hold on a second. Time out, Jesus. Let's go back to that. Even if all fall away, I will not. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, even before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. So in just a matter of hours, every single one of Jesus' disciples are going to desert him. They're going to flee. They're going to run out of fear, self-preservation. And even Peter, who is so emphatic, so insistent, oh Lord, even if all these other guys, I don't know about all these other guys, but me, I'm with you. Even Peter, look at what happens. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. He broke down and he wept. He denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but just like Jesus said it was going to happen, it happened three times. He denies Jesus. And he broke down and he wept. Judas betrayed. Peter denied. They both had pretty big regrets because they had both just made the biggest mistakes of their life. But what I want you to notice today is what they do from that point that makes all the difference. Two disciples making two different decisions. They turn different ways. Will I ever find freedom from regret? It depends. Which way are you going to turn? We're going to see these guys turn two different ways. And the first one that we're going to follow is Judas. And we know a lot more about Judas' story because this time it's in Matthew 27. Matthew records this and he writes this down for us. He tells us that when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. He felt bad. He was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. And then he went away and he hanged himself. What I want you to notice as we follow Judas down his path is that Judas let his regret take him further and further away from Jesus. And I wonder if maybe you have too. Those thoughts of, I've gone too far, I've done too much, God can't forgive me, I can't even begin to forgive myself, how is God going to forgive me? Those thoughts that the enemy starts to plant in our minds begins to take us off course. And we just begin to believe that what we did is who we are and that who we are is all we're ever going to be, and it begins to become our identity. But I want you to notice what Judas does. Because, I mean, at least at first, it sounds like he's on the right path. He felt remorse. That's a good thing. There was something in him that moment clicked, and he felt bad. He felt remorse. He even went another step. Retribution. Restitution. He is giving them the money back. What is he trying to do? He's trying to hit the undo button. He's realizing that what he did was the biggest mistake of his life, and he's trying to undo it. Take the money back. And they go, we don't want the money. It's your problem. And then even after that, what does he cry out? He confesses, I have sinned. He's trying to make it right. He confesses that he's a sinner, yet that is where he stops. You see, just remorse led him to ruin. But then there's Peter, who had also made the biggest mistake of his life and the biggest regret of his life. Instead of turning to himself, which is really what remorse is, if we stop there, remorse is a turn to oneself, but repentance is a turn back to God. And Peter doesn't just choose remorse. He chooses repentance, and he turns back to Jesus. On Easter, we talked about how 500 people witnessed Jesus. After the resurrection, they saw him at one time. Jesus, before he ascends back to the Father, is showing himself to the disciples. And on this particular day, he meets with Peter. Before he ascends to be back with the Father, he meets with Peter on the shores of Galilee. And I love this. We know this because John writes this down. John records this in chapter 21. Jesus cooks Peter breakfast. On the shores of Galilee, they're eating. And then we see this in John 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Does anybody remember how many times Peter denied Jesus? How many? Three. How many times did Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Three. What is Jesus doing? He's reinstating Peter. He's restoring Peter. Do you think that maybe the third time that he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Do you think that recalled some of that regret back to Peter? I mean, this is not years later. This is weeks later after he had denied Jesus three times. It was still fresh on his memory. But Jesus is restoring him. He's saying, "Peter, you still have a purpose. You're still on the team. I still love you." And all of that was possible because Peter chose to turn back to Jesus in repentance. So, our original question, will I ever find freedom from regret? Well, it depends. It depends on which way you turn. Remorse in and of itself will lead to ruin, but repentance will lead to redemption. We see this in these disciples' stories, one right beside the other, within just days of each other. The Apostle Paul, he really sums this up well. He boils it down right here. Here it is. Godly sorrow brings what? Repentance. That leads to what?
Salvation.
And leaves no what? Leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Did we not just see that in the story of Judas? Simple remorse, worldly sorrow brings death. But godly sorrow brings repentance. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Peter. Now I want you to think about this, because this is not where the story ends. Peter turns to Jesus in repentance, and he's restored. And he's given salvation. But that salvation would turn into the salvation of many. And here's how. Peter would go back to Jerusalem. Again, just days later, he would be back in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus has already ascended back to the Father. We see that in Acts 1 that Luke records. But then in Acts chapter 2, Luke also records this. That Peter goes back to Jerusalem, back to the scene of the crime, back to the heat. Right? Like they just saw Jesus crucified. And Peter goes right back to those southern steps on that temple And he tells the people. He pulls no punches. He tells them, the man whom you crucified, surely he was the Son of God. And here's how the people respond. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? In other words, okay, we get it. We believe it. Those 500 witnesses that have been going around and said, we saw Jesus at one time. And now this preaching and the power of the Holy Spirit flooding over these people. They were pierced in their hearts. Brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must what? Okay, that was the big moment right there. Each one of you must what? Repent of your sins and turn to God. Will I ever find freedom from regret? It depends. Which way are you going to turn? Peter tells them, repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know exactly how many people were gathered on those steps as Peter is preaching to this crowd. We know that in Jerusalem, the whole city, the population might have been around, 30,000. But Luke tells us that 3,000, almost a tenth of the population, 3,000 repented and were baptized that day. 3,000 people repented and found salvation. And I wonder how different the story would have turned out had Peter, instead of turning to Jesus, would have just turned to himself. How different the story would have been. 3,000 people made the decision to say, I trust Jesus. So what about you? Will you ever find freedom from regret? It depends. Which way will you turn with your regret? Will you keep turning to yourself, putting trust in yourself? Maybe turning to others, trying to undo it yourself? Or will you just let go of that and transfer that trust in yourself to Jesus and turn to him and meet with him just like Peter did? Let him say to you, you still have a purpose. I still love you. You're still on the team. Would you hear the voice of your Father? Maybe you've been on the fence about following Jesus. You've been thinking about it for a while, but you've been thinking, I think I believe he is who he said he was. And I believe that he died, and I believe that he rose again. And I want to follow him.